Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
I'm Tom Rowe, live in Hudson this morning. And you have tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Just a few minutes, we'll speak with Roger Hannigan-Gilson, the Hudson Valley correspondent for the Times Union. He'll update us about what's going on locally. We'll also hear the better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and the local news from Philip Grant. And it's all during our pledge drive where we're asking you to help out and go to WGXC.org/donate and become the latest sustaining supporter who wants to make sure that hundreds of community voices have a place on the dial, one spot where you can have your say. You can call in. You can call in our three-minute phone number and leave a message we'll play on the air. You can do your own show. You can do a segment. You can be a part of your community here at WGXC.org/donate. Only 17 cents a day will make you a sustaining supporter, less than a cup of coffee. Is it worth it to hear all these voices every day? Go to WGXC.org/donate if you think so during our pledge drive. Stay tuned. The local news is next on the WGXC Morning Show.
This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
WAFARM respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands WAFARM and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanicta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
WAFARM's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Danielle Ryu in Tivoli, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. The Times Union reports that Governor Kathy Hochul announced February 20th more than $1.8 million in grants for 26 Hudson River projects. The work is to improve estuary improvement water quality, enhance environmental education, and advance stewardship of natural resources. Hochul said, and I quote, "New York State is investing in projects that will improve resiliency and protect our natural resources, both in the Hudson River Valley and across the state. These 26 local grants will provide dozens of communities support to improve recreation, expand river access and education, and preserve and protect this iconic river for future generations of New Yorkers," end quote. Among the recipients, the Columbia Land Conservancy gets $75,000 for the Columbia County Countrywide Conservation and Open Space Plan, which will engage a broad coalition of community partners to ensure that the countywide conservation vision responds to the needs of diverse communities, considers suitable renewable energy sitting, and provides opportunities for the development of affordable housing. Bard College is getting $69,300 for a River Harmful Algal Blooms Watershed Characterization and Communication Toolkit to develop a watershed characterization report and communications material focused on harmful algal blooms in the Walco River in partnership with the Walco River Watershed Alliance, Hudson River Watershed Alliance, and Riverkeeper. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Casey Abel reports for HudsonValley360.com, 20 Round Top residents had questions about a proposed hotel, resort, and spa at the former Blackhead Mountain Lodge on Crow's Nest Road at a recent Town of Cairo Planning Board meeting. The Masman family closed and sold the Blackhead Mountain Lodge and Country Club in April 2023. Now, Henry Courtmatch of Our House Hotel Group and Donald Chick of DC Hospitality want to renovate the tourist resort with a spa hotel and restaurant. Round Top resident Janine Morick at the January 4th Planning Board meeting was concerned about the forecast 7% increase in traffic from the proposed resort. Morick said, and I quote, "Not including weekends, there are about 50 cars that drive our road. But with this proposed development, they're talking about roughly 600 cars," end quote. The proposal includes the construction of 87 new buildings, a lodge, and a wastewater treatment plant, and the site would include 288 parking spots, 90 individual lodging units, 26 keys. For hotel guest rooms and the re-engineering of existing ponds into waterways. Cairo Planning Board Chair Joe said, and I quote, "It's still early in the process and a public hearing will happen. I don't want to comment on the process just yet because we have been going back and forth," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Courtney Ward reports for News 10 that the Robina Coeman Selkirk Central School District has picked a new nickname, the Ravens. Formerly, the school sports teams were called the Indians, but state regulations mandated that all public schools eliminate mascots and team names with Native American imagery. So the Southern Albany schools now have a new nickname and logo. Read more about this story at News 10. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, February 22nd. Local early morning temperatures range from 19 degrees in Medusa to 31 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 33 degrees. Today we'll showcase lots of the fun weather has to offer. A freezing morning gives way to a cool afternoon. Winds this morning will be knocking over garbage cans. We get a high temperature of 43 at 3 p.m. Around that time, rain rolls into the area and will continue all night. A snowy mix joins the fun after 9 p.m. Temperatures drop to 36 degrees, keeping the mix from being a real problem. Falling wet stuff turns all rain at sunup, then continues all day. We get a high of 46 degrees at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Rain ends along with the sunlight, and we see temperatures drop to 22 degrees overnight. Saturday will be freezing and windy, but it will be dry. Temperatures in the teens overnight will have the furnaces going. Sunday will be dry with a high of 41. Sunset today will be at 5:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:38 a.m. Looking way up, we see that anyone that got their eclipse glasses early will have a chance to use them today. And I cannot stress this enough. Be sure to use an ISO-certified solar viewer only. Anything else will scorch your retinas down to charcoal. Keeping that in mind, you can check out Sunspot 3590. It is big enough to be seen without magnification as it slides across our sun's surface. That chunky part is part of the reason we have a 5% X-class flare chance today. We also have plasma winds that will be slow at 333 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair below 30 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 45. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who want to remind you just how important you are. If you can hear me, you're part of our community, and it's members just like you that help us keep the network up and running, and you do so in many ways. If the financial route is what works for you, donating is easy. Just head on over to WGXE.org and hit that donate button. Big thanks from me to you.
All right, you have tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. I'm Tom Rowe here, live in Hudson. And right now we are joined by Roger Hennigan-Gilson, the Times Union's Hudson Valley reporter, who checks in each week with the stories he's working on. How are you doing this week, Roger?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tom?
All right. What you been working on?
A few things. I think we'll talk about state aid cuts to schools around here. One of the other reporters created a map a couple weeks ago, just to back up a second. Kathy Hochul essentially got rid of a provision that had existed for many years that said a school could not receive less money in state aid than the year before. They could receive the same amount, but not less. That provision was cut in the executive budget, and about half of the school districts in the state are facing cuts of foundation aid, which is the main way that the state funds schools. And there are many school districts in the state, but the three with the largest cuts are all in the northern Hudson Valley, the Taconic Hills, and then Oneonta in northern Ulster County, and then not Hunter's Tanners, though. But let's focus on Taconic Hills. So they're facing cuts that would amount to 7% of their total budget. I mean, the amount that they're getting cut from state aid is about 34%, and that amounts to 7% of their total budget. And I talked to the superintendent, and, you know, he was very worried about this, you know, that, like, programming could be cut, especially electives, of which, you know, there's some important ones. It's like art and music, also agriculture, technology classes, and this course that teaches, you know, it's like a science course that culminates in this kind of like science project. So all those might go if this cut goes through. And to look at, like, the larger picture, like, why are these three districts having their aid cut so much? The foundation aid formula, which is how this is determined, is a very complicated formula. But it takes into consideration such things as the prosperity of the district. It does this through income, you know, property values, that kind of thing. The problem seems to be in these three school districts is the wealth that has entered the districts over the last few years isn't reflected in the student population. A lot of the, rising incomes in the communities are people who have moved in who do not have children in the school systems. Many of them are older people whose children are grown. So they kind of like throw off the equation. They're bringing this money in, so the foundation formula reads it as like, oh, these districts are more wealthy, they're in less need of aid, but the people with the wealth don't have students within the school district, so it throws this whole thing off. And if you look at, like, population trends during the pandemic, these three areas, you know, Eastern Columbia County, Northern Ulster County, and then kind of the mountaintop area, have seen large influxes of people moving in. So, we contacted Governor Hochul's office. It's a complex formula. They were arguing essentially that these districts had lost population over the last 5-6 years, which they have. They definitely have. Like Oneonta in northern Ulster County they're in the process of closing two of their elementary schools over the next 5 years because there just aren't enough children to fill them. So it's a complicated picture, and population loss has something to do with it. But according to the superintendent and just kind of the figures of the thing, it also has to do with the foundation aid formula, not really properly reading the needs of the district. And, I also talked to the education department and, the Board of Regents sent a statement that pointed out that this could be extra cutting, rural districts have always kind of lost out under the foundation formula, and B, because stimulus funding from the pandemic is falling off this school year, so they're going to be bringing in less money in a couple ways.
Sounds like a tough year for schools.
It may well be. This isn't yet set in stone. This is, the budget isn't finalized. It won't be finalized for a couple months. But everyone's stressed out about this. I talked to Michelle Hinchey, the state senator, whose district includes all three of the school districts. So she's got a lot to contend with there. But she's calling, and she's not the first one to call for this, but she's calling for an entire overhaul of the foundation aid formula. The single house budget last year, that is what the state senate proposed, was that they do a complete study of the foundation aid formula in hopes of correcting these kind of issues, but it was not in the final budget. So she says she's going to be pushing for this kind of thing again.
All right. What else have you been working on this week?
Well, I've been writing a lot about pets, pets, everyone likes pets. Other than people, I'm sure not everyone loves pets, but many people do. But Greene County is trying to start, not Greene County, the county, but a group of concerned animal lovers are trying to open a companion animal shelter, aka pet shelter, in Greene County because it doesn't have one.
It's been since the 90s or something, the last one closed?
Yeah, I think there was like one in Athens.
Yeah, I think that's what I read too.
If I'm wrong. Yeah. And I also guess that, Animal Kind, which is now in Hudson, it's kind of like a kitty shelter, used to be over there. But, since the 90s, there's not been a shelter in Greene County. They're kind of serviced by the Columbia Green Humane Society. And everyone I talked to for this article was, praising the Columbia Green Humane Society and said they did great work. But it's just geographically really hard to cover these two large counties. Dog control officers, which like every town has a dog control officer, they're the ones that go... Get strays and abandoned dogs and dogs that run off and deal with that kind of thing. It might take them an hour to get from a point in Greene County to the Humane Society and an hour back, and they're kind of out of service there. This would kind of, according to the people that want to start this, fill in this big gap kind of in services, and you know they're in the fundraising phase of all this. But yeah, they have a lot of ambitions. They argue that you know it will help investigate animal abuse cases, of which there's been kind of a rash in the area over the last couple of years. And you know they would provide other services such as you know vet checks and that kind of thing. And one of the most interesting things, and this speaks to kind of a previous article I'd written about people just not being able to keep pets because it's so difficult to find housing that will accept pets, that there will be a separate building that would house animals temporarily if the owners cannot find a place that will take pets or if they're in between places. And then also, and this is pretty cool, I thought, they were talking about how there are sometimes situations where there's an abusive relationship where two people live together, one person is trying to leave, but their pet's there, and that kind of keeps them there. And so the facility would also offer this thing for victims of domestic abuse that they would be able to house the dog there when they're essentially trying to flee their abuser, which I thought was pretty innovative.
It does sound. Is that something that's been going on around the country, or is that new here?
I couldn't say if it's going on around the country. I had not heard of it. That does not mean that it's not happening around the country, but you know, it's a cool idea.
Yes. Anything else you've been working on?
Yeah, I thought I'd have a story about it today, but the vote was not held last night. But the Greene County Legislature, a couple weeks ago, they heard this presentation from one of these citizen audit groups. Like, citizen audit groups, and New York has a kind of an active one, are people arguing that there are a huge amount of errors in the voter rolls. So this group, well, it was one person, but she had some supporters, came to the Greene County legislator and made this presentation about how Greene County's voter rolls were all messed up and that the Greene County legislature should support a resolution requesting New York State audit the 2022 election, like go through it with a fine-tooth comb to see if there is any of these errors they claim are there. So there was supposed to be a vote held on that. There wasn't supposed to be. I thought there was supposed to be, but it is. It's been put off a month. I talked to the chair of the legislature. He said that he was in support of this audit, of this resolution requesting the audit, but the votes weren't there to pass the resolution. So he's essentially trying to get the votes together over the next month so this passes.
And what will this mean?
Well, in a way, it doesn't mean anything. Because it's just a request to the state. But in another way, it means quite a lot, because it means that the majority of county representatives don't trust elections in New York. And, I mean, that's quite a statement to make. When I was talking to the chair, he didn't say, like, well, I think his argument was, like, well, what's the problem with doing an audit? We do audits all the time in Greene County, and this doesn't seem inappropriate. I mean, it certainly introduces a lot of distrust to the voting system. And, you know, you could argue that that's very destabilizing, though.
So this is like a national Republican issue coming to Greene County?
It is. Because, yeah, you see this all over the place. And this group, which is actually based in Newburgh, they made a presentation in Malta, just north of Albany, about a month ago. So they're kind of making the rounds. I'm not entirely sure who invited them. Maybe they requested they do the presentation themselves. But, you know, it was suggested. And during the presentation, like, some of the legislators were obviously very into the concept. Some were like, obviously, like, this is bull. But the chair hopes to get the votes together to pass this resolution next month.
And they're talking more about the state's votes, not like their own Greene County voting?
Well, they're kind of like integrated the two things. Like, the audit is for the 2022 vote in New York State. So they want to audit like all of New York State. I mean, they were pointing out what they claimed were problems with Greene County's voter rolls. And, you know, the Republican and Democratic chairs of the local Board of Elections were there, and they were not happy about that at all. I mean, you know, because it can be perceived as directly insulting, like, you guys aren't doing your jobs right. And the one of the commissioners...
Isn't the commissioner the Republican chair of the county?
No, the Republican and Democratic commissioners of the Board of Elections.
Oh, I thought it was Brent Bogardus. It's not Brent Bogardus?
Oh, no, I misheard you. It is Brent, yes.
Yeah, so he's the chair of the Republicans in Greene County also. So he's saying that his election results in Greene County are not trustworthy? The legislators are saying that Brent Bogardus isn't trustworthy. I mean, it boggles the mind a little.
It's a little confusing because he's in charge of those voter rolls in part. So
Democratic,
this presentation, like, Brent was kind of answering back to these claims, and then one of the supporters like challenged him, and there was kind of a bit of an argument going on, and you know, it didn't come to fisticuffs or anything, but obviously there's some vitriol on both sides here. I mean, how couldn't you be if you were Brent, because they were just kind of questioning the integrity of what he does.
Right. Yeah, it's one of these Republican issues that they bring up locally, and the affordable housing crisis, because then more Airbnbs and less places to rent. So
yeah, it might take the pressure off the local housing market. People are going to come and want to come here because it's a great area either way. That brings up Hudson, because that, you know, Hudson has a ton of Airbnbs, but they have nine hotels that are either constructed or in process right now. So
hopefully that issue will be a little better soon.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you for updating us what you've been working on, and I guess we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, talk to you next week, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. That was Roger Hennigan Gilson with the Times Union, and you're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM. It is our pledge drive. Please consider going to wgxc.org/donate if you want to continue to hear local news, interviews, segments, and stories about your community and music from around the world and around the corner.
Buy the gown for you to wear to the prom with Tom, the astronomer, who'd name a star for you. But I'm the luckiest guy on the Lower East Side, 'cause I've got wheels and you wanna go for a ride. I'm a fool, there's no doubt, but when the sun comes out, and only when the sun comes out, I'm the luckiest guy on the Lower East Side, 'cause I've got wheels if you wanna go for a ride. So are you. My car is ugly, but then I'm ugly too. I know you'd never give me a second glance, but when the weather's nice, all the other guys don't stand a chance. I know Professor Blumen makes you feel like a woman, but when the wind laugh like a little girl, so you share secrets with Lou, but we've got secrets too. Well, one, I only keep this heat for you, 'cause I'm the ugliest guy on the Lower East Side, but I've got wheels and you wanna go for a ride.
Or what? The magnetic fields. During the pledge drive, consider making a pledge to keep local music on the local airwaves.
John Sturman, spinning unique ukulele tunes, and he has a few words.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to welcome everybody. We're here live. It's a Tuesday night, and this is the first night, the first day of WGXC's February Fun Drive. And so we'll be talking about that. But welcome, everybody. It's an amazing scene here, and we're really glad to have you.
We have an audience here tonight. Can we hear our audience?
Thank you. So Carmen Borgia is our host tonight, who coincidentally was born on the exact same date as that ill-fated plane crash, which claimed the lives of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper, and the pilot, Roger Peterson. But we have a fine group of musicians here tonight for the first hour, coming to you live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Our band musicians tonight are Carmen Borgia.
Hello.
Yay. Tommy Sharp on bass. Mike Regana on drums. Dave Kelsey on ukulele. Steve Laguerre on ukulele. Our featured singers will be Allison Davey, Eva Pepe, and Linda Sales. And our backup singers, also known as the Ukettes, Khalees Manasano, Deb Allen, and myself, Jerry Lynn Mason, who will be providing some informational tidbits throughout the show. First up, we have a song written by Buddy. Back in his day, it was a commonplace to put the hit on the A side of a single and a lesser song on the B side. Usually the B side was there to demonstrate other facets of a person or band's skills. And if you had three or four hits with singles, you could justify putting all of them together on an album. So Buddy had a surefire hit with Heartbeat, the side A, but most critics agree that it should have been this one, Well, All Right. It's an unpretentious song of both strength and tenderness, and it really didn't sound like any other song out there in 1958. Well, All Right.
All right, here we go. Let's see. So how does this go again? Let's see.
Well,
heart's desire. She's a real go-getter, she's a real live wire.
I love that Boney Maroney.
Thank you, thank you. I found out a few interesting facts about Buddy Holly. For instance, he had a lucky number. What do you think it was?
Number nine.
He was the fourth child of a musical family. His parents had given him a violin, but he was terrible on it. And when they performed as a family, they used to put grease on the bow so it wouldn't make any sound. Buddy was too young to notice, or maybe he did, because soon afterwards he told everybody that he wanted a guitar. So thankfully the violin issue was resolved. He had his teeth capped, and he also decided to embrace the fact that he had to wear glasses, and he gave up his wire-rimmed ones for the thick black framed ones. He died with $76.34 in his bank account, partly because his unscrupulous producer and so-called co-writer on a few songs owed him at least $100,000. And that's why Buddy took the job at the Winter Dance Party Tour. So the next song was written for his wife, Maria Elena, as a wedding gift, True Love Ways.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh. Sometimes we'll cry. And you know why. Just you and I know true love is.
sweet. Here's the B side of another Buddy Holly song. The A side was Peggy Sue. Rolling Stone magazine has ranked this song number 238 on its list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. It's Everyday. If you think of the recording, you might remember a sort of clicking sound. That wasn't a metronome or a snare drum or a woodblock. It was a keyboard-type instrument called a celesta, which is an obscure symphony orchestra keyboard instrument. It's the same instrument you hear in the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy recording. Not my buddy. Because there was only one microphone back then, before multi-tracking was available, musicians would put their instruments closer to the microphone in order to of how loud they were or how loud they wanted them to be. So you can actually hear the percussionist slapping his thigh on the recording to keep everybody in rhythm. But we're going to play Every Day.
Every day, it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, 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 every day, it's a getting faster, everyone says, go ahead and ask her, love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer. Every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer. Every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Love like yours will surely come my way.
Thank you, Linda Sales.
Yes, yes, yes.
Our next song really needs no introduction. It's a love song like countless other love songs, but this one's about a girl named Donna, specifically Donna Ludwig, who was Richie Valens' high school sweetheart. Donna.
All right. Do a little intro. Her name. Since she left me, I've never been the same. 'Cause I love my girl, Donna. Where can you be? By myself to wander and roam, 'cause I love. bless her name. Since she left me, I've never been the same. 'Cause I love my girl, Donna. Where can you be? Oh, where can you be? Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna.
So, what do you really know about the Big Bopper, besides the fact that he wrote Chantilly Lace and It's the Truth, Ruth? He was born Giles Perry Richardson, Jr. He was a disc jockey at KTRM in Texas, where he broke the existing record for continuous on-air broadcasting for a total of 5 days, 2 hours and 8 minutes. He wrote George Jones' first hit, White Lightning, and he also wrote Running Bear. A dollar to all the listeners who can now sing that song, Running Bear. On the banks
Running
of
bear
the river.
Through the wilderness.
All right, so anyway, forget that song. We're going to do It's the Truth, Ruth.
All right, see if we can get our Big Bopper on here.
It's
kind of Bo Diddley, yeah.
Was that the little red rooster with the big red hen?
Yeah.
And a big bad rock says I don't know where.
Said
the little red hen to the little red rooster. Oh yeah, Dad, you don't rock like you used to.
Yeah.